John chapter 3, we'll begin our reading at verse 22. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there. And they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question among some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. And he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to be his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. May the Lord bless in the reading of his word. You may be seated. Please take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 21. The question is authority. The opposition was thinking, the opposition was plotting, the opposition was saying, this Jesus must be stopped. Their plot to destroy him had started at least 2 years earlier in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 14. He did not submit to them. He did not agree with them, and he revealed what they really were, self-righteous hypocrites. The irrefutable preaching and teaching, the evidence of untold miracles, mattered not. They would not believe, they would not accept, they would not submit. Now, this conflict that was going on here during the time of the life of Christ, during his earthly ministry, this conflict is a microcosm of the ongoing conflict between God and man. At heart, even the best of men are rebels. We will not accept the authority of God. To acknowledge it, perhaps, but never to submit to it. Never. I am my own master. And yet such adamant declarations are simply evidence of slavery. Slavery to sin, slaves to the devil. The freedom expressed is a delusion. And religion and spirituality, morality, are simply candy coating on a dead soul. Christ came to give us life. And if we are to have this life, we must believe and we must submit. In Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 23, we have Jesus in the temple. We had the triumphal entry just a couple of days before. Jesus had either 2 days before or just the day before, thrown out the money changers and threw out those that were buying and selling there in the court of the Gentiles in the temple precincts itself. And so following this, several days later, it says when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching. And said, by what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority? We want to know your credentials. We have seen what you have been doing. We have heard what you have been teaching. We have been following you. Our emissaries have been out there questioning you. Our folks have been watching you. We are aware of what is going on. But what are your credentials? Now, understand that these folks that came out to confront Jesus here in verse 23 were the who's who in Judaism at the time. It says the chief priests and elders of the people. The chief priests would be Caiaphas and Annas among them. These are the Sadducees and also the head of the Sanhedrin. These are the folks that run the temple. and the worship there. And the elders of the people, these would be folks that are part of the Sanhedrin, a mixed group consisting of a majority of Pharisees. These are the who's who in Judaism. These are the people that have a say-so in all the religious affairs of Judaism, not only in the land of Judea, but throughout the world. And so this leadership, this group of people who have authority, come to Jesus, and they say to him, "By what authority doest thou these things, and who gave you this authority?" Because it certainly wasn't us. So what is their question? By what authority? You have been doing all these things, 3+ years, 3.5 years probably. Jesus has been preaching and teaching. Vast multitudes, thousands of people, perhaps tens of thousands of people have attended to his preaching and teaching, sometimes all at a time. And it's hard for us to understand that you can have that large a group and have a teacher preach and teach to them. And I've talked about this before, that we deal in a world today that is full of background noise. I live over near DeCourcy Park. Most of you know where. Let me get my bearings here. Yes, I live that way. About 3 miles that way. And yet, if I'm standing in my backyard early in the morning, right at sunrise, I hear a roar all around me. I live 1.5 miles from the nearest freeway, and at least that, maybe 2 miles, and yet I hear this roar all the way around me. And the only reason I don't hear that roar in the middle of the day is because there's other roars that are closer in. We are surrounded by all this background noise that drowns out things. But understand that before the age of engines and so on, that people could, their voices carried. Years ago, my wife and I took a group of young people to Red Cliff Bible Camp. Anybody here familiar with that? It's in outside of Pinedale, Wyoming. Great, good, sound, fundamental Baptist camp. And you are out in the middle of nowhere. There are moose tracks in the morning where people had walked during the day when you're at this place. And you can be 1 mile away, and you can shout somebody's name, and they can hear it. There aren't too many other people talking in your immediate area. On Saturdays, after the kids have gone home, you can carry on a conversation 1/2 mile away. And so Jesus was preaching and teaching to vast multitudes. They could hear what he was saying. There was the healing and other miracles. Some done before the very eyes of the Pharisees, these skeptics, these people that were questioning his authority. No doubt some of them had actually seen Jesus perform miracles. They had seen him heal people. They perhaps had been there with the feeding of the multitudes. They had seen these things. They were eyewitnesses of the miraculous happening. They saw it. It isn't just a report. One of their emissaries, one of their spies had heard Jesus or heard about Jesus doing this. They saw it with their own eyes. There was no, by the way, you go through the New Testament, there is no denial of the reality of Jesus' miracles by the opposition. They can't refute it. At the time of the writing of the New Testament, there were tens of thousands of people that would testify and say, "Yes, I was there, I saw it, he healed me. I was the beneficiary of a meal that he provided out of a handful of food." The miracles were irrefutable. So by what authority are you doing this? By what authority are you preaching and teaching? By what authority are you doing the miracles? And of course, the Pharisees had said, "Well, he does these things by the prince of devils. It is the devil himself. It is Satan that empowers him." Because they couldn't deny the supernatural. But neither could they refute his teaching. It didn't agree with their traditions, and that drove them absolutely crazy. But it was in accord with what the Bible taught. Going through the pages of the Old Testament, because they didn't have the New then, going through the pages of the Old Testament, they could not refute him. And when challenged, as we will see, when challenged, he refuted them. He showed them that their theology, that their traditions, that the things that they had embraced were in error because they were not in accord with the Old Testament. So by what authority are you doing these things? By what authority did you cleanse this temple 2 days ago? They had been unable to stop him at the time. And they were the ones receiving the royalties, the chief priests and so on. They were the ones, the chief profiteers from the marketplace there in the temple. They had a finger in the pie. This is how they enriched themselves. They were fleecing the flock. By what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority? Now understand, at the time, the Sanhedrin controlled religious credentials. You had to have their approval or one of their designated people. You had to have their approval in order to have credentials to be officially a rabbi, to have authority to be able to preach and teach. No rabbi was ordained without their extended approval. And yet Jesus had authority. If you go through your New Testament and go through a concordance study and just look up the word authority or the word power, which is sometimes translated, you see that Jesus had power over demons in Matthew chapter 10. He had power over sickness also in Matthew chapter 10. And we see that, by the way, this is manifest, evident in his ministry, but it actually declares that he had authority over these things. It says in Matthew chapter 9 that he had authority to forgive sins. And in that context, the Pharisees said, who has power to forgive sins but God alone? It should have been evident. But they would not see. In John chapter 10, it says that he has authority to lay down his life. And really, when it gets down to it, we wrap it all up with Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. As the Creator God, Jesus is the Creator God. Colossians chapter 1 verse 16 and John chapter 1 verses 1 through 3. He is the Creator God. And as the Creator God, all things are under his authority. And so you have these petty tyrants coming to him in the temple and saying, By what authority do you do these things? Now, 3 years have passed. In John chapter 3, one of their own, a fellow by the name of Nicodemus, after having observed the miracles and heard the preaching and teaching of Jesus, came to Jesus by night. And we've discussed several times why that may have been. Why did he come at night? The most frequent answer is, well, he was afraid of what people would think if this exalted ruler of among the people, because he was a member of the Sanhedrin, this exalted ruler from among the people went to this young, popular rabbi in public. I think part of the reason he went to him, because he was in earnest, we find this later on in John's Gospel. But I think that one of the reasons he came to Jesus by night was also, this is one of the few times he'd be able to get to Jesus without this thronging multitude, because Jesus, as we see throughout the Gospels, he didn't have time. There was no, it talks about them not even having time to eat. They couldn't get around. There just was no time. And he came to Jesus in John chapter 3, and Nicodemus himself, one of the council, one of the Pharisees, said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The council at the beginning of Jesus' ministry recognized that God was with him, that these were done by the power of God. 3 years have passed. Have they changed their minds? I don't think they really have. I think that they were afraid to admit it. They would not dare admit that Jesus was doing these things by the power of God, because there were implications. If I am opposing Jesus and he is empowered by God, then I'm opposing God. So they would not dare acknowledge these things in public, but Nicodemus acknowledged, he says, we, the council, recognized that these things were being done by God. That was 3 years before. The issue was not really Jesus' credentials. That isn't why these fellows came to Jesus and demanded of him, by what authority you do these things? The issue was finding a charge against Jesus, a general charge of blasphemy, a claim that he is the Messiah. By the way, this is one of the reasons why Jesus did not, he did this before the disciples, but he didn't do this publicly. You don't find a public declaration of Jesus saying, I am Messiah. He will affirm a statement, And he will say these things to his disciples. But as far as a public declaration, he does not say, I am the Messiah. And there's a reason why. He's not denying the reality that he is. We find that when in his interactions with the disciples. The reason you don't have this big public declaration of him being Messiah is because that would give the religious authorities here a charge against him. That they, and that's what they eventually used, because if he is declaring himself to be Messiah, Messiah is a king. And that was the charge that they brought before Pilate. We have a usurper over here. We have a challenge to the emperor's authority. The Romans were not interested in petty religious squabbles. They allowed for religious freedom within Judaism anyway. They allowed the Pharisees and the Sadducees to continue to have their bickerings and back and forth. The Romans would take no part in that. That was an in-house thing. You guys discuss your own religious things. As long as you're paying your taxes, as long as there's not uprisings, you guys can believe what you want to believe. But when it came down to a possible challenge to the political authority of Rome, well then, the Romans were on the edges of their seat, ready to act and ready to intervene. And when the religious rulers brought Jesus bound before Pilate and said that he is claiming to be a king, that was the charge that they used to crucify him. They were trying to find a charge against him. And their minds were made up. 3 years before, Nicodemus had said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. The council recognized that. The council saw that. But they would not declare it. Why not? Their minds were made up. They were going to disregard the facts of what they had seen and what they had heard. It does not match what we believe. Now, we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. People believe what they want to believe. Regardless of the facts, regardless of what the scripture has to say, I believe certain things. You come across this when you're witnessing to somebody. Do you believe the Bible? Yes, I believe the Bible. Okay, with that understanding, you get this with a Jehovah's Witness or a Mormon who comes to your door, and you sit down and you go through the Bible, and you'll show them different things that the Bible says. And when you back them into a corner, what do? They leave. Because don't trouble me with the facts. When they get to a point where they know that they are stuck, they're not just going to go, wow, I had never seen that before. You must be right. They'll never do that. Their minds are made up. They are going to believe what they want to believe. And it doesn't match the teachings and so on of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus did not match what they wanted to believe. It didn't match what they wanted to have happen. And people will not be convinced against their wills. If you have shared the gospel with others, and by the way, if you haven't, shame on you. If you have shared the gospel with other people, you are going to come across folks that will argue the most ridiculous, silly things. If you back them into, and I'm not saying that you don't get into this for the sake of argument, by the way. You can win an argument, but you're not going to win a soul that way. But if you can reason with them in the scriptures and show them different things, people will come up with the most ridiculous arguments to back up their position. Why? Because I've got to believe what I believe. I can't change my mind. I believe this. I know what I believe is true, and I know what you're telling me is wrong, and yes, I know what you've shown me in the Bible, but people will not be convinced against their wills. And it doesn't matter what the facts are. The perverseness of human nature forces people to defend a lie, and they will do so. It doesn't matter. Don't trouble me with the facts. My mind's made up. Don't trouble me with what the scripture has to say. I already know why I believe what I believe. And I've talked to people, and they sit there and say, yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Yeah, I believe that. Well, why don't you put your trust in Christ? Well, and then they'll come up with something else that is unrelated to what we've been talking about. It's a diversion. I will not believe. And when he was coming to the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching, probably there in Solomon's porch, and said, by what authority doest thou these things, and who gave thee this authority? They are demanding an answer. Now, the reality of the matter here is, who is the authority? Jesus is the authority. The whole world will bow the knee and confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He is the authority. And so he turns around and he simply asks them a question. And by the way, he's not playing games here. This is all going to tie together. He says there in verse 24, he answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing. And if you tell me, if you will answer my question, I will likewise tell you by what authority I do these things. I will answer you, but you answer me first. And he asked them a question. He says in verse 25, the baptism of John. Now, this is the ministry of John as a whole, focusing on the baptism. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or men? Now, we know, having our New Testaments, you go to the book of Luke, you see the beginning and the miraculous, not virgin birth, but the miraculous birth of John the Baptist. His parents being old, his mother having been unable to bear children up until this time. The miraculous birth of John the Baptist, the declaration that God had given regarding his ministry from birth, that he was filled with the Spirit from birth. The things that he was the last of the prophets. And that he is the prophesied forerunner of Messiah from Malachi. We have God's declaration regarding the nature of John. The baptism of John, whence was it? From heaven or among men? Or of men? Did John just decide to do this? And he got a following? Now remember, John at this point has been executed. He's been dead for probably a year and a half or more. Was this something that John just did? Or was John a man sent from God, as we know later on, the New Testament declares? Now, John, at this time, was very popular. He'd been gone, but his memory was fresh in the minds of the people. The common people had listened to him and heard him, and the call was for repentance. And the passage that we read earlier in John chapter 3, verses 22 through the end of the chapter, is John speaking. And he declared that faith through the Son was necessary for salvation. He was preaching the gospel. The message was heard by the common people. The common people believed John to be a prophet sent from heaven. John didn't do miracles. The Bible says he didn't. But he was a powerful preacher of the Word of God. And Jesus said, was the ministry, the baptism of John, from heaven or of men? Now, the issue was these same people that came to Jesus didn't believe that John was from God, or if they did, they wouldn't accept it. Same thing with Jesus' ministry. The credentials are there from heaven, but we won't accept. We won't accept. And they don't come out and say this because this huge throng, remember, what is going on when these fellows walk up to Jesus? The court, and we're talking about an area that is six times the size of this gymnasium at least. It's huge. And it is packed full of people listening to Jesus, who is, let's hope this doesn't collapse here, who is standing on the steps of the portico, on the edge of the court there. So he's standing here addressing this huge throng of people. They came to him while he was teaching. And the crowd parts, and these people in fancy clothes, royal robes, priestly robes, led by some bodyguards that are creating a... These people come up. And they interrupt Jesus, and they ask their question. So this is all going on before this huge crowd. They think they've got Jesus right where they want him. Who gave you this authority? By what authority do you do this, and who gave you this authority? Because it wasn't us. And we're the ones that give authority. So Jesus asked the question, was the ministry of John, with this huge throng listening in on this discussion, was the ministry of John, the baptism of John, from heaven or of men? And in spite of the size of the huge crowd, it got very quiet. And then you heard the murmur of the crowd. And you saw the faces of Jesus' accusers. And they looked at each other out of the corners of their eyes. And then they had their little huddle over here to the side. Because Jesus had put them into a real quandary. He had put them in a very embarrassing and potentially dangerous position. And so it says they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say to us, why didn't you believe him? Why didn't you repent? Jesus, John the Baptist is one that told these guys, you brood of vipers, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance. And they wouldn't believe. They wouldn't submit. But if we say of men, which is what we're demonstrating by our practice and how we responded to John, then we're in deep trouble with this huge mass of people that are here. We fear the people because they held John to be a prophet. And in Luke's gospel, it says that they, in chapter 20 and verse 6, the parallel passage of the same thing, they feared that the people would stone them to death if they declared that John was a fraud. So if he's of God, then why didn't we believe him? Why didn't we respond? Why didn't we repent? But if we declare that John was a fraud, then this mass of people believe he was a prophet and they're going to kill us. What are we going to do? So they say in verse 27, then answered Jesus said unto answered Jesus and said, we cannot tell. Now that can mean two things. Number one, we don't know. We don't know. And number two, we won't tell. And I think both are true in this situation, although they may have known that it was from heaven. Herod had not executed John the Baptist at the beginning for the same reason that he was fearful. In Matthew chapter 14, verse 5, it says, and when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. These folks here were afraid of a backlash, the loss of respect and authority of the people. They have feared the multitudes. Jesus had put them in a no-win situation. Jesus had backed them into a corner. Their error, I think, was evident. And you can hear perhaps the murmur of the people growing a little louder and perhaps some chuckles coming from the crowd. And this embarrassed entourage of leadership turning on their heels and beating a hasty retreat before the jeers of the multitude. And Jesus, after these have left, resumes his teaching before this huge throng of people after his accusers had been shamed and left. And he tells a parable of two sons, beginning in verse 28. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he answered and said, I will. But afterward he repented. The first one says, I will not. And afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, I will go. But he went not. And which of the two did the will of his father? They said unto him, the first. The one who said, I will not do what you want me to do. And then later repented and did the will of the Father. That's the one that obeyed. The one who gladly said, oh yes, I will do. And then didn't follow through, of course, did not obey. And they understood that. They believed that. That initial obedience, at least by words, or at least this initial disobedience, but later repentance and obedience, but the I will, but didn't. Fair words, but no obedience following. Lip service, professed that they served God, but in reality they did not. And which did the will of the Father? The first. And so Jesus, shouting after these folks as they walk out of the court, said, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots, they believed him. And ye, when ye saw it, repented not afterward that ye might believe him. There was no repentance, there was no remorse on your part. You continued in your unbelief. The prostitutes and publicans were proverbial at the time, the worst of the worst. And yet, they had come to John, and they had repented, and there was a transformation of life. And the chief priest disbelieved. They received not the way of righteousness. John came to you in the way of righteousness. They could not impugn John's character. They could not refute his teaching and preaching, but they would not believe. Their minds were made up. Don't trouble me with the truth of what God has declared. Don't trouble me about my heaven-given credentials. Listen to the truth that I am declaring. And they would not believe what they heard. And they would not believe when they saw its power. They responded to John the same way they responded to Jesus. Their minds were made up. I want you to understand something. We are not the masters of our own destiny. Human beings seem to think that we are the masters of our own destiny. I am a free agent. I am in control. I believe what I wish to believe, and I determine where I will spend eternity. If I choose to believe, there is an eternity. This is the arrogance of humanity. God has declared, I don't believe this authority. My mind's made up. I believe this. I believe this. I believe this. I believe this. And we can go, you got page after page after page of the things that different people believe. Why do you believe those things? Well, I believe. I've come to this conclusion. By what authority do you come to that conclusion? My own. I am the master of my own destiny. And yet God is still in the business of transforming lives to those who will believe His word, to those who will repent. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what you claim to believe now. If you'll repent and believe what God has said, God is still in the business of forgiving. And God is still in the business of transforming. And if you will forsake trust in self, if you will forsake religion or anything else, and put your trust in Christ alone, what He did for us on the cross, He has promised us life. And He has the authority to give it. By what authority doest thou these things? He performs the miracles. He raises the dead. He heals the sick. He walks on water. He feeds the multitudes. We know that no man can do these things that you do except God be with him. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful. The testimony of heaven is the authority. And you have given us your word from heaven. And if we will put our trust in what Christ accomplished on the cross, the purpose for which he came, because he has authority, he had authority to lay down his life and he had authority to take it up again. Father, the heaven, Father, the authority was from heaven. And Father, that authority is still there. He can forgive sins. He has that authority. And Father, we can become His your children by the authority that you have given Christ, that you have put all things under His authority. Father, thank you for this. May we believe. May we trust. May we forsake everything else. Our own wisdom. We are not the masters of our own destiny. May we put our trust in what Christ has accomplished. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.